Okay, so we are up to Chav Tes Amud Beis. Officially, this is Daf Lamed this week, and we are on the last skinny line on Chav Tes Amud Beis, where it says Tiyufta. That's where we got up to last time, and we're really getting there. This is next week will, God willing, be our last week of Tainus, and we'll make a Siyum, and then we'll have to decide what the next Masechta will be. But let's jump right in right now, since we're already running very late. So again, the last skinny line in Chav Tes Amud Beis. So, Shalach Rav Yitzchak Bar Giuri, Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. So, Rav Yitzchak Bar Guri sent a message in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and he says as follows. What was the message? Afal Pisha Amru Kli Pishtan. Excuse me. Ain behen mishum gihutz. So remember last time we were talking about the notion of various laundry that can and cannot be done, particularly during the times of the week of Tisha B'Av. So we said even though they say that a kli pishtan, that linen garments can't be there is no prohibition against like pressing them or ironing them. So even though there is no prohibition like that on the week of Tisha B'Av, nonetheless aval usur. It's still usher to wear those types of clothes on the week of Tisha B'Av, the week that Tisha B'Av lands in. So in other words, you press your linen clothes, permissible to press them, but you can't wear those clothes until after Tisha B'Av, until after the week of Tisha B'Av. We'll see in a second. Let's say Tisha B'Av falls on a Wednesday, so I understand that if the week of Tisha B'Av, so I can't do anything Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and obviously Wednesday, but what about Thursday? So we'll see in a second if the Thursday, which is technically after Tisha B'Av, but part of the same week, is that considered as part of the prohibition? So let's see. Amar Rav, Rav says, Lo shano el lefanav avala achrav mutter. So Rav says that it's only prohibited to do laundry and to wear these clothes before Tisha B'Av, but after it, in that same week, it's going to be permissible. So again, Tisha B'Av is on Wednesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, usher to do laundry, but Thursday, Friday is permissible to do laundry. That's the first perspective. V'shmuel amar afilu l'achrav nami usher, but Shmuel says, no, even afterwards, it's prohibited. So if you have Tisha B'Av on Wednesday, that means you can't do any laundry from Sunday through Shabbos, and Sunday, the week after, is the next time you're allowed to do laundry. Meisvei, but they're going to challenge this. Shabbos shachal Tisha B'Av lios besocha aser lesaper lechaves v'cham uvechamishi mutarn b'pnei kavod haShabbos. So you have a brisa that says that if you have a Shabbos and that Tisha B'Av lands on. You have a week that Tisha B'Av lands in. So in that week, it's prohibited to take a haircut, it's prohibited to do laundry. And on Thursday, as we know, this is, I believe, what our Mishnah taught. So on Thursday, it's permissible to do laundry because of Kavod Shabbos. Ketzad, how so? What's the case over here? Chalios be'echa b'Shabbos, mutar l'chabes kol ha'Shabbos kula. If Tisha B'Av falls on Sunday, then you can do laundry the whole week. Right? B'sheni b'shlishi b'revi'i. If it falls on a Monday, a Tuesday, or a Wednesday, ubechamishi, or on a Thursday, lefanav asur laachrav mutar. So before it's going to be prohibited to do laundry, but afterwards it'll be permissible. So therefore, if Tisha B'Av falls as late as Thursday, so great. So you just do laundry on Friday, no problem. But chalios be'erev Shabbos, let's say Tisha B'Av falls on Friday, mutar lechabes b'chamishi mipnei kavod haShabbos. It's permissible to do laundry on Thursday because of kavod Shabbos, because you won't have a time to do laundry before Shabbos. Ve'im lo kibis b'chamishi, and let's say you didn't do laundry on Thursday, v'Shabbos mutar lechabes be'erev Shabbos min haMincha l'mala. Unbelievable. Once the zman of Mincha comes, according to this brisa, you're allowed to do laundry even though it's already Tisha B'Av. So meaning Tisha B'Av is on Friday, which means it starts Thursday night and it goes through until Shabbos starts. And this brisa is saying over here, if you did not do laundry on Thursday, which you should have, then you can actually do laundry in the second half of Tisha B'Av itself. That Friday afternoon, while it's still Tisha B'Av, you can do laundry. Unbelievable. However, Abaye, or some say it was Bar Yaakov, they like gave a curse to people who do these types of things. Anyone who did laundry on Tisha B'Av itself, they got cursed because of that. Now, Chalios b'Sheni v'Chamishi, let's say Tisha B'Av falls on a Monday or a Thursday, Korin Shlosha u'Maftir be'Echad. So what do? So they have three people that come up for an aliyah, and the third guy who gets the aliyah, he does the Maftir, he reads the Haftorah. But Shlishi u'Revi'i Korei Echad u'Maftir Echad. An interesting shita. If you have Tisha B'Av that falls on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, then since you don't normally lean on those days, so you just have one aliyah, and seemingly that same guy gets to be the maftir as well. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, li'olam korin shosha maftirecha, that's what we do, right? Really, you just have three people that get up and for an aliyah, and the last guy does the maftir. Tiyufta d'shmuel. So now, okay, that was just all part of the brisa, but just an extraneous point. But going back, tiyufta d'shmuel, what did Shmuel say? Shmuel said that we are prohibited from doing laundry after Tisha B'Av, as long as Tisha B'Av fell on that week. So if it falls on Wednesday, Shmuel says you can't do it until the following week, until Sunday. But we just had a brisa that says, no, you could do laundry after Tisha B'Av in that same week. So tiyufta d'shmuel. So this is a refutation of Shmuel's perspective. Amr lecha Shmuel tonight. He know, or Shmuel will tell you, let's not go so fast here. What you're actually, this proof that you're bringing against me is actually a machlokas tanaim. So Shmuel is saying, I hold like one Tana, I hold like the Tana that says that you can't do laundry after Tisha B'Av that fell on that week, and you hold like the Tana, and that Braisa holds like the Tana that says that you can do laundry after Tisha B'Av in that same week. Ditani is Tana Braisa. Tisha B'Av Shechal Yos Peshabbos. You have Tisha B'Av that falls in a certain week. V'chein Erev Tisha B'Av Shechal Lihios Peshabbos. And so too you have Tisha B'Av Shechal Yos Peshabbos. If you have Tisha B'Av that falls, it's hard because the Shabbos could be interchangeable, but Shabbos over here actually means Shabbos. So let's say you have Tisha B'Av that fell on Shabbos, v'chein Erev Tisha B'Av Shechal Yos Peshabbos, or you have Erev Tisha B'Av that actually fell on Shabbos. What happens in those situations? Ochel v'shosek kultzarko umale al shulchanu afilo kesudas Shlomo b'shato. So what do you do? So you can, on that Shabbos, you can eat and you can drink whatever you want. It's like you have Shlomo HaMelech's table. Shlomo in his prime had a beautiful table. He had incredible foods. He could even eat like a king that Shabbos. But v'asur l'saper l'chabis, it's prohibited to cut your hair or to do laundry. Merosh chodesh v'ad ha'tainis. So the first perspective is, and this is starting to get a little more familiar to where we are nowadays. First perspective is it's still going to be prohibited to do laundry or cut your hair from Rosh Chodesh Av until the Tainus is over. That's Rabbi Meir's perspective. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kula Chodesh Kulo Asur. Wow, Rabbi Yehuda is very machmir. Says the whole month of Av you can't do laundry and you can't cut your hair. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Eino Asur Ella Osa Shabbos Bavad. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the only time that's prohibited is the whole week itself. So you have three perspectives over here. One is very machmir that says the whole week is prohibited. One is relatively lenient that says from Rosh Chodesh until the fast is going to be prohibited, but the day after the fast, even though it's still the same week, that's going to be permissible. And then you have the final perspective that says no, it's just 1 week, which is the least amount of days. But in theory, from our perspective, it's more stringent than the one that goes from Rosh Chodesh Av until the Tainus, because this is saying that even after the fast, if it's that same week, that's going to be prohibited as well to do laundry. V'tanya idach. Important to recognize and understand that we've only really been speaking about whether or not laundry is prohibited after Tisha B'Av in that same week, but that brisa seemed to say that it's also prohibited to take a haircut the whole week. Okay, v'tanya idach, another brisa. V'nohig Vinoheg Avel Merosh Chodesh Ve'ad HaTainis Divrei Rabbi Meir. So you have basically the obligation to keep all the laws of Avelus from Rosh Chodesh until the Tainus. That's Rabbi Meir's perspective. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol HaChodesh Klo Asur. Rabbi Shem Megalil Omer Eino Asur Ela Oso Shabbos Bavad. So again, it's basically the same perspectives, just with a little bit of a different language and a different brisa, but the same idea. These three opinions. Rabbi Meir says you hold these prohibitions of Avelus from Rosh Chodesh Av through the Tainus. Rabbi Shem Megalil says you hold it just that week, and Rabbi Yehuda says you hold the whole month, all these prohibitions. Okay. We're now at the middle of the second to last line. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Fine. So we have these three perspectives. V'shlosh tan mikra echad darshu. Happens to be that all three of these opinions that are very vastly different, they all darshan the same pasuk. Dichtiv, it says, the pasuk says, v'shbati kol misosa chaga chadash v'shabasa. That I will bring all of her joy to an end, her festivals, her months, and her Shabbases, or Shabbosos. Man, Amar Meir Shchomirosh Chodesh Ve'ar HaTainis, the perspective that says that it's only prohibited to, the prohibitions only apply from Rosh Chodesh Av until the fast itself. Now we're on the top of Lamed Aman Aleph, Mechaga. So that perspective learns that from the word chagah. So take a look at the top Rashi on Lamed Hamad Aleph. Klomar yalef taima min chagah tahina rosh chodesh shenikra chag. So when the pasuk says that all of her joy is going to end, and it says from her chagah, from her festivals, we understand that chagah means rosh chodesh. So the joy ends from rosh chodesh. So that therefore they understand that it's rosh chodesh until the tainus that we apply all these laws of avelas. Umanda amar kol chodesh. Kulo aser mechadasha. They learn out the word chadasha. It says all of the months, and so that's how we know the whole month of Av is going to be prohibited with these laws. Amandamar kol haShabbos kula aser meShabbasa. And the person who says no, it's the whole week, learns that from the fact that it says Shabbasa, right? Just the Shabbos is, and so therefore these are the three different perspectives that learn out from this same pasuk. What are these other opinions do with the other words? I'm not so sure, but that's how these three people learn out from this pasuk, from these three different words. Amar Rava. Now, so Rava says, halacha k'Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. The halacha follows Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, who just said that it's only prohibited for that week. So that's what the halacha follows. Like, v'amar Rava. Rava has a further perspective where he says, halacha k'Rabbi Meir. No, the halacha is actually like Rabbi Meir. What's the halacha of Rabbi Meir? Again, Rabbi Meir was the one who said Rosh Chodesh until Av. That's the prohibition. Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av. That's when the prohibitions apply. So how do you have both? Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says the week of, and Rabbi Meir says the 9 days. So what's the deal? But Tarvaihu Lakula. So he uses these two opinions to go leniently, to paskin leniently. What does it mean? It's sricha, and it was necessary to yashmu inan halacha k'Rabbi Meir. If you want to say the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, hava mino afil merosh chodesh, you would have thought that the prohibition applies even from merosh chodesh. Kamashalan halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. You can't say that the laws of avelas apply even from merosh chodesh, because he says that we follow Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who says only the week of Tisha B'Av. The yashmu inan halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And if you say if you only would have said that he passed like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, hava amina afilu li acharav, you would have said that even after Tisha B'Av in that same week, you would still apply the laws of Avelos. Kamash Mulan halacha k'Rabbi Meir. So therefore, we say the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. In other words, according to Rava, the halacha basically is Tisha B'Av falls on a Wednesday, so you apply the laws of Avelos from Sunday for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. After that, it's permissible, and before that week is permissible. So that seems like what the Sfardim do, right? That's the Shulchan Aruch's perspective. We, however, Ashkenazim don't do that, but that seems to be where the perspective is based in. Okay, two dots. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam beiz tafshilin. So on Erev Tisha B'Av, one should not be eating two cooked foods. What does this mean? Amar Rav Yehuda lo shano ela mishesh sha'us l'mala aval mishesh sha'us l'mata mutar. So Rav Yehuda says, this idea that you can't have two cooked foods, it doesn't mean that if you want to wake up and you have your nice eggs benedict with your French toast, whatever, that's permissible. It's only that you can't have two cooked foods from 6 hours and on, meaning so from chatzos, from midday and on Erev Tisha B'Av, that's when the prohibition of eating these two cooked foods apply, but before that, does not apply. V'amar Rav Yehuda, another halacha, lo shano ela besuda hamafsik ba, aval besuda she'ino mafsik ba mutar. Wow, so Rav Yehuda says, no, well, making this even more lenient. It's not that you can't have two cooked foods at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, no. It's that you could only not have two cooked foods if the meal at 3 o'clock is your last meal of the day, is your Suda Samafsekis. But if it's not your Suda Samafsekis, then even then you can have two cooked foods. So really, so okay, fine. So what does the Gemara say? Tarvayu l'kula. And so both of these opinions are basically gathered to help us go leniently in both cases. V'tzricha, how so? D'yashmi inun b'suda hamafsek ba, that if you would have just said that you can not have two cooked foods at your Suda Samafsekis, hava mina afil mishesh osul mato. You think, let's say you wake up in the morning and you want to have an extra fasting time. So let's say you say 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to have my Suda Samafsekis. So if that's the case, where am I? If you would have just taught that the prohibition of two cooked foods applies for the Suda Samafsekis, hava mina afilu mishesha uslamata, I would have thought that it even applies from before 6 hours, kamash malan mishesha uslamala. No. So if you have your Suda Samafsekis at 10 o'clock in the morning, no dice. You are allowed to have two cooked foods then, even if it is your Suda Samafsekis. For whatever reason, let's say you want to make that your Suda Samafsekis, no problem. You can have two cooked foods. It's only a prohibition once you get past chatzos, even if your Suda Samafsekis, for whatever reason is before chatzos. Ve'i ashmi'inon mishesha oslamala. And if you would have taught that the prohibition of eating two cooked foods applies after chatzos, havamina afilu besuda she'ina mafsikba, you would say, let's say it's not your suda mafsekas, you're having a nice afternoon lunch at 2 o'clock in the morning on erev tish, or sorry, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on erev tish above. So you say, so fine, I guess I can't have two cooked foods here. No, kamash malan, besuda Besuda Hamafsikpa. The prohibition only applies to the Sudas Mafsekas. So in other words, you're only gonna be prohibited from having two cooked foods if your Sudas Mafsekas is after Chatzos on Erev Tishbet. If it's not after Chatzos, or if it's not your Sudas Mafsekas, then it's not going to be a prohibition of two cooked foods. Okay. Tanya Kalishna Kama, Tanya Kalishna Basra. We have a Braisa that teaches like the first perspective over here, and we have a Braisa that teaches like the second perspective over here. What do you mean? Tanya Kalishna Basra, we have a Braisa that teaches like the second perspective. How so? Hasoi to Erev Tishbet, a person who has a meal Erev Tishbet, im atid l'sod suda cheres mutzer l'chol basar l'shos yayin. If the individual is having a meal on Erev Tisha B'Av, and if he's still going to have another suuda, then it's permissible for him to eat meat and wine in a suuda. So if he knows he has two suudas left, then he is allowed to have meat and wine in this specific suuda. So what does this show you? That as long as, so this is the perspective that goes like the Sudas Mafsekas. It's only prohibited to have two cooked foods of the Sudas Mafsekas. Evidently, it's only prohibited to have to have Basar of a Yayin at the Sudas Mafsekas. But if it's not a Sudas Mafsekas, if you're planning another meal before Erev Tisha B'Av, before Tisha B'Av, then you're allowed to drink meat and wine at this meal. V'im lav. But if you're not planning another meal, this is your last meal before Tisha B'Av, then it's prohibited to have meat and wine at that meal. Tanya Kalishna Kama. Now we have another braisa that teaches like the Lishna Kama. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam shnei tavshilin, lo yochal basar v'lo yishtay yayin. So the braisa says that on Erev Tisha B'Av, you shouldn't eat, a person should not eat two cooked foods, nor should he eat basar, and nor should he drink wine. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer yishana. So Rav Shimon Gamliel's perspective is no, you just have to modify his eating a little bit. Don't have to go so crazy with all these prohibitions. His eating should just be a little bit different. Amar of Yehuda, Ketzad Mishana, so Rav Yehuda says to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's very nice you say he should change his eating, but what does that mean to change his eating? So says the Gemara, Im Haya Ragil Echol Shnei Tavshilin, if the guy normally eats two cooked foods in a meal, Yochal Menachad, he should eat one thing. Im Haya Ragil Esod Ba'asara, if he normally has a meal with 10 people, B'nai Adam, Soy B'chamisha, he should have a meal with 5 people. Haya Ragil Eshtos Asara Kosos, if he normally drinks 10 cups of wine at his meal, that's a lot of wine, but let's say he normally drinks 10 cups of wine, that is some Pesach Seder, Shote Chamisha Kosos, he should have 5 cups of wine instead. B'amed Ramamurim, when does this apply? That all these prohibitions, kick in, that you should lessen your meal in some way, shape, or form. Mishesha Osulamala, from 6 hours and on, aka from Chatzos and on, Mishesha Osulamata, Motor, but before Chatzos, everything's going to be permissible. So again, this goes like the Lishna Kama that we had. Okay. Tanya Idach, another braisa. So you can have a lot of this, a lot more of this, just this repetition, basically. So the other braisa says, Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam shnei tavshilin, lo yochal basar v'lo yishta yayin divrei Rav Meir. So in Erev Tisha B'Av, a person should not be eating shnei tavshilin, two cooked foods, nor should he be eating basar, nor should he be drinking wine. That's Rabbi Meir's perspective. V'chachamim omrim, v'chachamim say yishana, he should just change his eating habits a little bit. Umemait v'basar uveyayin, and he should limit the amount of meat and wine that he has. Ketzad memait, how does that mean? What does that mean to limit it? So like we just said, imhaya ragil le'echol litra basar. So a litra is like a measurement. If he was used to having a litra of basar, yochal chetzi litra, so he should just have a half of a litra of meat. Hayaragil l'shos lug yain, if he normally drinks a lug of wine, yishta chetzi lug yain, he should just drink a half of a lug of wine. V'im eino ragil kol ikar, but if he doesn't normally have any meat or doesn't normally have any wine, then usar, it's prohibited to have any meat and wine now. You can't just wake up and start having meat and wine now. Rabbi Moshe ben Gamliel omer, im haya ragil echol tsanun o maliach, if he normally has a radish, or some radishes and some salted fish, maliach, some salted fish, achar suda, so after his meal, harshus biyado, then he is allowed to have those in his meal. So in other words, to have those is not considered such a beautiful thing and such a special thing that to take them away would not be necessary. So you could have those things after your suda still. Tani Yidach, another braisa. Kolshu mishum Tisha B'Av asur lechol basar v'asur l'shos yayin v'asur l'rechutz. So says the braisa, if it's prohibited at this point because of Tisha B'Av to eat meat and to drink wine, then it's also going to be prohibited at this time to wash yourself. So as long if kol shehu mishum Tisha B'Av, if it's prohibited at this time for Tisha B'Av to eat and to drink the basar or the yayin, then it's going to be prohibited to wash yourself as well. So in other words, the zman, the time that this prohibition begins, also is the time when the washing prohibition begins. Kol sheinu mishum Tisha B'Av, but if that prohibition has not kicked in yet, then kol sheinu mishum Tisha B'Av mutar lechol basar v'lishos yayin. So as long as that prohibition has not kicked in yet, nonetheless, the prohibition of washing still does kick in. So it's a little bit unclear what this means. It's like a very non-paralleled statement. So you would expect it to say in mutzer lerchutz that it should be permissible to wash yourself. There are, I think, those who change the girsa, but nonetheless, we'll just read it in a second. Someone else just wants to come in here. But there are those who I believe do change the girsa, but nonetheless, we'll read it like it says it over here, and we'll say that it's usher lerchot. So again, even though the time of eating meat and drinking wine has not it's not prohibited, still it's going to be prohibited to wash yourself. When does that begin exactly? Unclear. Okay, a little bit right there. Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yosi Omer. Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yosi says, Mishum Aviv, in the name of his father, Kol Sha'a Shemutar Le'echol, as long as it's permissible to eat basar, to eat meat, Mutar Le'echol. So that seems to be a direct disagreement with what we just said. So as long as it's permissible to eat meat, then it's going to be permissible to wash yourself. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbi's son of Brisa, Kol mitzvos hanohagos be'evil nohagos betishabav. Any customs or any commandments, anything that an avil does, that's what a person should be doing in tishabav. You should be acting like an avil in all ways. Aser ba'chilo v'shtia. So how so? Well, number one, it's going to be prohibited to eat and to drink. So that's weird, because In Avelos, we don't paskin that you can't eat and drink when you're in Avelos, so this seems to be an extra one. Fine, so this is one extra thing that on Tisha B'Av you can't eat and drink, but much like Avelos, so v'sicha, you can't anoint yourself with oils, v'nilas sandal, you can't wear leather shoes, v'tash mishamita, you can't have marital relations, v'asher l'kros b'torah b'navim v'ksuvim, you can't read you can't learn any of Tanakh, v'lishnos b'mishnah b'talmud v'medrash v'halachus v'agados, you can't learn any sort of Mishnah or Gemara or Medrash or Halacha or but you can learn some sort of Tanakh, you can learn some scripture that you're not used to learning. Why? Because Rashi explains, when you learn something new, there is a certain sense of sar that comes with it, because you don't know what it's talking about. So therefore, you can learn things that you don't, that you never learned before. Don't get too excited. We don't pass them like that. And again, you can also learn things like Gemara, whatever, that you never learned before, because it's because you're not ragil, it's not regular, so it's going to be a little bit hard for you. What else can you learn? Kinos, you can learn kinos. So it seems like it's a little unclear. So you know, colloquially, we call kinos. You know, we know kinos. You know, you say those in Tisha B'Av, you sit down and they're going to say them. Seems like kinos over here, however, does mean echa, right? So you can read. You could read Eicha, Be'iov, you can read Eov, with the Varm Haraim, Bishop Yirmiyahu, you can read about the bad things in Yirmiyahu, all the bad, the difficult prakim. But Tinoko Shalbeis Rabban, and the children, what do they do on Tisha B'Av? Batalim, they do nothing. They sit there and should not be enjoying themselves, they shouldn't be playing games, they should just do nothing. Mishum Shinemar, Pikudei Hashem Yishar, Mesam Chilev, that the Pikudei, like the orders of Hashem, they're upright, and they are like glad in the heart. Meaning, when a person learns Torah, that makes them happy. So therefore, it's prohibited to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, because it's going to make you happy, and we don't want to be happy on Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Af inu kori b'makom she'ino ragil l'kros ve'ino shona b'makom she'ino ragil l'shanos. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no dice. This is how we paskin. You can't learn the things that you can't even learn the Tanakh that you have not, that you're not ragil to learn, and you can't even learn the Mishnah, Gemara, etc. that you're not ragil to learn. What can you learn? Aval, what's permissible? Kori hu be'iyuv, you can learn iyuv of a kinos, you can learn eicha, with varm haram, shabbi yirmiyahu, the negative things, the difficult things in yirmiyahu, and v'tinoko shabbis rabban, betelim, bo. The school children do nothing. Mishum, shenamar, pikudei Hashem yishar, mesamchalei, the same pasuk is quoted once again. Learning Torah makes you happy, so you can't learn Torah. Okay, four lines up in the bottom. Lo yochal basar v'lo yishtayayin. We know that we said that the person cannot be eating meat or drinking wine on Erev Tisha B'Av. So again, if you go back to the context of the Mishnah, which no need to turn back if you don't want to, but I will just do it really quickly. So says the Mishnah, this is specifically talking about Erev Tisha B'Av. It says, Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yochal adam shnei tavshilin, you can't have two kukuds, and lo yochal basar v'lo yishtayayin, you can't eat meat and you can't drink wine. So we already understood that what it means when we say you can't have two cooked foods means you specifically can't have two cooked foods at the Sudas and Afsekas after Chatzos. So let's see what the Gemara has to say over here. So, and again, again, seemingly that also applies to meat, to the prohibition of eating meat and wine as well. Tana, so it's taught in the Braisa, aval ochel hu basar maliach v'shosa yayin migito. So however, even though you can't have meat and drink wine, whenever that prohibition begins, you can't do that. Nonetheless, you are allowed to eat basar maliach, salted meat, and you are allowed to drink wine from the wine press. So we'll explain these as we go. So now, so basar maliach ad kama, when is something called basar maliach? So that if it was not salted for this long, that you cannot eat it. Meaning, at what point in the salting process of meat does it get to be so salty that it no longer has the shame of meat? It's not considered meat anymore because it's so disgusting, or at least not the same high quality as meat, and therefore it's going to be permissible and not under the prohibition of eating meat. So Amar Rav Chinana Bar Kahana Mishmei Deshmuel Kol Zman. The text is changed over here to Shehu. So, Kozman Shehu Kishlamim. So, as long as it's like the Shlamim. So, Rashi explains over here that we'll just do it outside, that the Shlamim is you're allowed to eat the Shlamim for 2 days and one night. And then after that time period of 2 days and one night pass, so at that point, then it's basically the phraseology of the pasuk. It's that as if the shlamim is no longer meat. So we understand that to mean the same thing with basar maliach. If you're salting meat for 2 days and one night, then within that time period, it's still going to be considered meat. So if you have meat that's been sitting there just for 24 hours, and you want to say, okay, I could have it because it's basar maliach. No, you can't have that on Erev Tisha B'Av. But if it was sitting there for 48 hours, that you can have Erev Tisha B'Av, because then it's already not considered regular meat. It's called basar maliach, which is going to be much less than the quality of regular meat. So therefore, it's permissible to eat. V'yayin migito ad kama. And so then you have wine from the wine press. So what does that mean? So we know that the older the wine is, the more fermented it gets, and the better it tastes. New wine, fresh wine, probably not a lot of us. A lot of us Jews that like to drink like the Manischewitz or whatever wine that, you know, it's like a year old, not even. But the high quality wine drinkers, which again, not to put anyone down here, I'm sure there are some good high quality wine drinkers here. But me myself, I am not a high quality wine drinker. I'm not even a low quality wine drinker. But the wine that was just pressed, made from the wine press, that's considered low quality, so you could even have that kind of wine on Erev Tisha B'Av at the Sudas Mafsekas or whatever. So until what point do we consider it wine from the wine press? V'yayin migito ad kama. Until what point is it considered from the wine press and that it's permissible to eat, to drink? Kol zman shehu toseis. As long as it's still fermenting. Meaning if it's still in the fermenting process, and Rashi says fermenting, what does that mean? It means rotech, it's like boiling. I guess it's like still in that process of like it's like hot off the presses, if you will. And if it's hot off the presses, then you are still allowed to drink it, because it's not really the real wine that we're talking about. Tana, Yayan Toseis Ein Bo Mishum Giloy. There's also another brisa that says that there is a prohibition of drinking certain liquids that were left out, because there's a concern that maybe a snake went into them and drank from them and left some poison in there. So we say you can't drink from there. So the Braisa says that when you have this yayin tosis, if you have wine that's still like fermenting hot off the presses, then there's no prohibition of drinking from it if it was revealed. Why? Because we assume even the snake didn't want to drink from it, not because it was disgusting, but because it was still going through that process, in the boiling process, or whatever it is, so therefore he wasn't attracted to it. So the kamat to sisa, so, and how long is the process of toses that we say? Gimel yamim, 3 days. So if you have wine that came off the presses within 3 days, then it's going to be permissible to drink at this sudas mafsekas, say your last meal, because it's not really considered wine. Once it passes 72 hours, no longer is it considered toses, and therefore it's prohibited from then on out to drink it because it's real wine. Okay. Amar Yehuda, the end of the second to last line on the page. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Kach Hayam in Hago Shel Rabbi Yehuda B'Rabbi Eli. This was the custom of Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Eli. Erev Tisha B'Av Mevi'en Lo Pas Chariva B'Melech. So on Erev Tisha B'Av, they would bring him like dry bread with some salt. V'Yoshev, and he would sit. Where would he sit? Okay, Lamed Amad Beis. Bein Tanner L'Kirayim. He would sit between the oven and the stove. Rashi says the opening Rashi on this Amud, Bein Tana LeKirayim B'Makom Menuvel Shebabayis. It's like the most disgusting part of the house. I don't know. It's like hard to understand exactly what part of the house this is. Maybe it's like, you know, like the really disgusting crevices between where our ovens are and like the counter. It's like a really, especially like behind the oven. So I'm like imagining it like that. It's like a really sticky old food, whatever. It's all the worst stuff in the world there. You don't want to ever sit there. So you're sitting there because you want to feel like you're afflicting yourself. So that's where he sat, between the stove and the oven. The ochel v'shosa aleha kiton shamayim, and he drank a jug of water or something with it, a little bit of water. The dome kamisha meso mutalafanav, and he was like, this is the idea. We should be like someone who is who considers himself with a meso mutalafanav, with a dead person who was before them, basically that you're in a velus. That's the idea. Tanan hasim was taught in a mission over there. Makom shenagu lasos malacha b'tishah b'av osin makom osin makom shenagu shalom. So it's enosin, in a place. So the Mishnah says, in a place where they have the custom to do malacha, to do work on Tisha B'Av, they could do work on Tisha B'Av, but in a place that they have the custom not to do work on Tisha B'Av, then you shouldn't do work. But v'chomakom tamid chacham b'teilim. Every place, the tamid chachamim, they're always not doing work because it's appropriate not to do work. And Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, le'olam ya'aseh kol adam atzmo k'tamid chacham. Ideally, everyone should act like a tamid chacham. No one really should be working on Tisha B'Av. It's not appropriate. Tani nami hachi was taught in a brisa also that what Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, le'olam ya'aseh adam Atzmo ketamid chacham kadeshiyas anas. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that one should make themselves like a talmid chacham so that they can afflict themselves properly on Tisha B'Av. And the tiny idach, another brisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, kol ochel v'shosa b'Tisha B'Av, anyone who eats and drinks on Tisha B'Av, kilu ochel v'shosa b'Yom Kippur. It says it's like he ate and drank on Yom Kippur, so that's not good. Rabbi Akiva Omer, kol ha'osa malacha b'Tisha B'Av, anyone who does work on Tisha B'Av, inu ro'a simen bracha l'olam, he won't see any of the benefits, any of the fruits from that work. It's just, it's going to be useless. Even if he makes $1 million, it's going to be useless. V'chachamim Omer, kol ha'osa malacha b'Tisha B'Av, you know, Miss Abel al Yerushalayim. So the Chacham say that anyone who does work on Tisha B'Av and doesn't properly mourn Yerushalayim. So it's an interesting language that if you do work and don't mourn, but maybe so the understanding is that if you're doing work, then you are not going to be mourning properly. But you could, in theory, if you want to, you probably could read it to say, okay, I'm going to do work, but I'll mourn properly. But the idea is probably no, that you can't do any work because once you're doing work, that you're not going to be able to mourn Yerushalayim properly. And if you do that, Einu Ro'ah B'Simcha, so you're not going to be zocha to see Yerushalayim and its happiness. You're not going to see it, the redemption come, because you didn't care to mourn for it, so you're not going to be able to experience the happy times. Shenamar simchulis Yerushalayim begilu ba kol ohaveha sisu ata misos kol hamisablam aleha, that to make glad Yerushalayim and rejoice with her all those who love her, be elated with her all those who mourn for her. So in other words, it's a connection. If you mourn for her, if you mourn for Yerushalayim, then you'll also be able to be zocha to experience her happy times, her rebuilding. Mikan amru kol hamisabel al Yerushalayim zocha, so this famous Gemara. So from here we learn that anyone who mourns over Yerushalayim zocha, will merit to see her and her happiness. And if you don't mourn for Yerushalayim, you won't see her and her happiness. And Tanya Namihachi was taught on the Braisa also, kol ochel basar v'shosa yayin b'Tisha B'Av, anyone who eats meat and drinks wine on Tisha B'Av, alav hakasav omer, but this person, the pasuk says, v'tihi avonosam alatz mosam, that their sins will be like on their bones, meaning that's really not good. You don't want to do that. It's bad enough to eat on Tisha B'Av, let alone eating meat and wine. That's like even a worse level, so your sins are going to be on your bones. That's how bad it is. Anyway, so I think we'll stop right here. God willing, like I said, we'll pick up from here next week and we will finish the Masechta Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach. But for now, everyone should have a great night.